In the temptation of Jesus, when Satan offered him so many opportunities to become something that God had not sent him to become, Jesus answered the offerings of Satan by quoting Scripture. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus responded to Satan on one occasion by saying, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship." And this was an interpretation and quotation of a verse of Scripture that's found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, and verse 13. Here God said, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name." This morning we look at the beginning of institutional worship, God and Israel. The beginning of institutional worship, God and Israel. We've seen the age of the patriarchs, and the Word of God teaches us that they led worship for themselves and for an extended family. To this era belonged men such as Abel, Adam, Seth, Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. But God wanted a people. God wanted a people for himself. God wanted a peculiar people. A people that lived on this world and who were a part of its political and social and economic activity, and yet a people who loved him and who would worship him and who would serve him. And to this end, God called Abraham from the Ur of Chaldee, from the very midst of idol worship, and promised him seed or descendants that would be as the stars of the heaven or as the sands of the sea, and that he would give these descendants of this chosen servant of his named Abram, that he would give him a land that stretched from the sea to the river, and that he would then teach him and reveal to him a way by which he, the God of all things, the God of heavens, the God of the earth, the God of the moon, the God of the stars, the God of the universe, would come down into a tabernacle, a tent. And there he would make himself known to and available to this very special people whom he had called and whom he had certified by covenants and by ordinances and by ritual to be his very own people. You know, I have a people. I'm not God, but I have a people. And they're you. And you have a people. And they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And in this place that we have erected to the worship of Almighty God, God has a people. God has a covenant people. And God hath given to us ordinances to observe, commandments to keep, and worship to offer. We are the people of God's heart. We are the sheep of His pasture. We are the object of His love, and we are the apple of His eye. And we sit today to offer worship to God in an institutional sense. And so this is the beginning this morning as we study Israel, the tabernacle. It is the beginning of institutional worship. We do not worship in the tabernacle. We do not worship in the temple made with hands, erected from stone, but we do worship in a temple. And we are the living stones. We are the lively stones that erect a very special temple. And God, in a very special way, comes to dwell, to sit, to occupy a place in our midst, that we may call upon His name and be comforted by His presence and encouraged by His being. It's called church. Worship. The purpose of Israel, according to the Word of God, revealed to us in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, is to specifically have a people for Himself. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And in the giving of these words, there is the command to worship. The Bible tells us that God would bring them into their own land. And then, because of the covenant that He has made with them, they are then to worship Him. Moses and God make a covenant. They ratify it by an offering of an animal that is cut in two. Half is laid to one side, half is laid to the other side. And with blood, Moses walks between this animal that has been divided. And God accepts this as the guarantee of their agreement, as the guarantee of their covenant. We will be your people. And we will be the kind of people you want. And we will worship you. And God said to them, if you will do this, then I will bring you to your land. And I will drive the inhabitants of that land before you. Not in one great, tremendous movement, not by the sending of lightning and thunder and storms and earthquake, but I will drive the inhabitants of that land from you little by little. And therefore you can possess the land and inhabit the houses you do not build. Milk the kine you have not purchased. Share the sheep you have not bought. And eat from the vineyards you have not planted. And reap the harvest you have not sown. For I will be your God, and you will be my people. And I want you to be a peculiar people. I want you to be a holy people. And I want to give you some rules and regulations to live by, commandments, if you please. And I want to give you ordinances to observe. I want to specifically state that these are the things that I want, and I want you to rigidly and specifically obey them, because I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In this new land, God commanded them to build the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 25 is a part of this commission. Exodus chapter 25, and let's begin at verse 1. This may seem a little out of place, but I think you'll catch it very quickly. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering. This is an offering given by the children of Israel from the bounty they received from the neighbors who were Egyptian as they left Egypt. Now they are to give back the gold and the silver and all the precious stones that they borrowed from the Egyptians as they were exodusing from that land. God says, you've borrowed that and brought that for a purpose. Now I want you to give it willingly and give it from your heart to me, that it may be used to build a tabernacle. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Now notice this caution. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. God said, I want you to receive from the people all of the kinds of material that will be used in building a place for me to dwell among you. And I'm going to give you a pattern. And I want you to not only build the tabernacle by that pattern, but I want all of the instruments of that tabernacle to be built also according to the pattern that I shall show you. Now, God did not commission their common sense. God did not commission them to go by their feelings. God did not commission them to be motivated by their compassion. Common sense is good. Emotions are a part of our being human. And compassion is to be admired. But these are not patterns. The pattern that we must go by is the pattern that God gives. I rather suspect if you had the resources that God had when all of this material was brought to Him, Someone gave you a large acreage of beautiful property, and you had an opportunity to draw your own plans and build your own house, whatever size you wanted it, however many rooms you wanted it, however many instruments or pieces of furniture you wanted. If you had that resource and you had that opportunity and you drew the plans, you and your husband or you and your wife, your children sat down and for nights on end and days innumerable, you drew the plans. This is what we want. This is the way we want it. We want this purple. We want this painted blue. We have designed it. We have planned it. We know the color of every room. We know every piece of furniture and how it ought to look and where it ought to be situated. Now give that to the builder. What would you expect him to do? Use his good common sense and maybe leave off this, not put this in, this favorite room you wanted. He decides that's too much trouble. Would you be angered by that? Would you be incensed by that? For him to have the audacity to decide what you wanted. The sheer audacity of the thing to say, but I'm the builder, and I know you gave me some plans, but I intend to ignore them and use my emotion, how I feel each day when I come to the job. I will just like a modernistic artist. I will just paint how I feel. I know you wanted this blue. I painted it red. And so what's the problem? The problem is you would be angry, hurt, disappointed, upset. And yet God gave the pattern. And the artisans, under the guidance of Moses and other appointed men, they built the tabernacle according to the pattern. Because this tabernacle did not represent things that would come in the future. They were not a type of the church that would come into the world when Jesus took the material that John the Baptist had prepared and organized his church. This is not a foreshadowing of that which is future. It is a shadowing of that which already existed. And to change the pattern of the tabernacle was to disturb and to pervert that which already existed in the heavens. Notice with me, please, in the 8th chapter of Hebrews. I love Paul for doing what he did. And I know it was inspired of God, but he set so many things so straight for us as he interpreted the Word of God in the Old Testament and then wrote explanations of it in the New. Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. What is this tabernacle that existed and Moses built a tiny replica of it on earth? Well, it was the tabernacle where Jesus would go and serve as the high priest. as he sat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty, notice, in the heavens. And Jesus is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Now notice, these priests who serve on earth in the tabernacle, in the temple, and offer gifts to God, they serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. This tabernacle was not a type of something to come. It was a type of that which would function as the true tabernacle where the original things would occur that were typified, such as the giving of offerings, the making of offerings. You see, this is where Jesus, this true tabernacle in the heavens, that's where Jesus went as the high priest of God, though he was not of the priestly tribe. And there he offered his very own blood to God the Father. These priests in the tabernacle had to offer blood, first of all, as an offering for their sins. But since Jesus had no sins, he didn't have to offer blood for his sins. He offered blood, his own blood, for our sins. God didn't want the truth distorted. He didn't want the truth perverted. And God says, now, Moses, you do this like I have shown you. And Moses, realizing the immensity of the project, was faithful in every tiny detail concerning every tiny part of the tabernacle, even to the little silver knobs. Why? Because they were reflecting that which is in heaven. God had said it, and Moses must do it. He must make it according to the pattern, to the type, to the model, to the imprint. No substitutions. Moses could not say, God's plan calls for badgers, but I will use mink. They're just as good. God's plans call for blue, but I shall use purple. Who will know the difference? God's plan calls for 10 cubits, but I shall use 9 and save lumber. God calls for silver, but I shall use brass. God calls for brass, but I shall use silver. God calls for silver, but I shall use gold. God calls for gold, but I shall use silver. None of this. Make it, Moses, according to the pattern. Why? Why so picky, God? Why so unswerving? Why so hard-headed? Why so unyielding? Because God is God. Now, why this tabernacle? Why this tent of skins and hair and gold and silver and gopher wood, and why all these things accumulated, dressed by artisans and erected from time to time and in a place God has directed. Why this? Because inside that tent there was a most holy place. And God chose to come and be in that most holy place to receive the offering and the love and the devotion and the worship of his people. Now that tent didn't contain God. God cannot be contained in buildings. God cannot be contained in the universe, for the universe is God. And he fills up to the full the universe and all things beyond it and all things in it. For God cannot be contained with things that are made with men's hands. But it was God's choice. It was God's will. It was God's prerogative. And God said, this is what I want. I want on the earth that I have made, I want me a people. And I want my people to have a place. And this is a place I want my people to have. When my people are in their place, then I want to put a tabernacle there and I want to live among them. Sort of like building a little house for your mother-in-law. Well, no, maybe it's not like that. But anyway, well, it's something like that. I know what I want. I'm going to build a place here for my children, build a place here. You have the money, the resources. What's wrong with that? I'll build a place for you. God said, this is where I want you to live. Because the very climate will make you dependent upon me. Not going to rain too much, not going to rain too little. It'd be just right. But you'll have to depend on me, because if you don't depend on me and you get really snooty about it, I'll call rain to cease, and then you won't have anything to eat. And when you don't have anything to eat, then you'll remember me and you'll call my name. I want to control you because I want you to do the things I want you to do. Things haven't changed. They just haven't changed. God wanted a people all over the world, from sea to shining sea. And he wanted to have a place where people could worship him. So he devised the ecclesia, the assembly. And so people all over the world, no matter what race, no matter where they were, they could not be too poor to erect a temple, because their very bodies were the temple. Now God can meet with his people all over the world whenever they assemble according to the covenant, according to the pattern. You can't just build it any way you want to. You've got to have according to the pattern, which we'll be looking at when we study the church. But it's a place of worship, my folk. It's what God wants, and it ought to be done just like God wants it done. He said, well, I feel like we ought to do so-and-so in church. Check it with the Word of God. If it doesn't square, don't do it. He said, well, I think the church ought to do this. The church ought to be that. Check it with the Word of God, and if it doesn't teach it, then don't you do it. Because we are worshiping, and we exist by a pattern, just as surely as the pattern was that Moses used to build a tabernacle, we must use the pattern to erect a living stone unto God. Do you feel like you have entered into God's presence this morning? Do you believe God is here? And I don't mean just in a generic way, but do you believe God is here in a very special, unique way? Have we honored God? Have we loved God? Have we honored God by our minds and hearts? Have we expressed the truth? Have we welcomed God? Have we said to God, God, this is your service? You're God and we're the people. Lord, let us thank you. God, let us bow in your presence and let us offer ourselves to you. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, that you offer your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Have we done that this morning? Have we said, God, we're here. We don't deserve you. We don't deserve your love, but you have chosen us out of the world. You have qualified us. You have saved us. We're born again. We're scripturally baptized. We're covenant people, dear God. We're Bible people. We love your word. We love you. We make an offering of ourselves to you. We make an offering of what we've earned this week to you. We're here, God, to do it just like you want it done. And if, God, if we're not doing that, show us and we'll change and do it like you want it done. That's why we're here.